based in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. We're comprised of member physicians who are American Indian, Alaska Native, at least 1/8, and are licensed to practice medicine in the United States. This program that we are working on and I'm talking about today is an obesity prevention program where we work to develop and implement policy systems and environmental strategies for American Indian communities. The name of our program is the Healthy Active Native Communities Program. I have no relationships to disclose. Okay, I'm just going to spend a little bit of time talking about obesity in American Indian, Alaska Native communities. And the only reason why is I know that everyone in the audience here is probably very familiar with the high rates of obesity that our nation as a whole faces. A lot of times when ethnic minority communities are brought up or mentioned in statistics, American Indians are often left out of those statistics. I want to challenge all of you to please, whenever you're giving presentations, and to help me to raise the visibility of American Indian and Alaska Native populations and the health disparities that we face. And so that's the only reason why I'm going to talk a little bit about that and the unique challenges that American Indian and Alaska Native face. MAPS intervention strategies are policy systems and environmental change strategies that we were asked to utilize with our MAPS, or I'm sorry, with our funding. Communities putting prevention to work. Another presenter mentioned the CPPW. I'll tell you a little bit about that collaboration, and then I'm going to finish up with some lessons learned from our specific initiative. Whenever you're viewing American Indian Alaska Native rates, I think it's very important to realize that rates vary drastically among and within tribes, regions, and geography. Just a quick example of that is the Oklahoma State Department of Health. We have 37 tribes that are headquartered in Oklahoma. They did a review of 8 tribes in Oklahoma and found the obesity rates for adults to vary between 35.5% to 53.5%. So again, showing the variance there, and these are also rates that are taken just from within our nations. They're not necessarily taken from the urban Indian population. We have a very high urban Indian population in the state of Oklahoma. Also, the last extensive evaluation of obesity prevalence for American Indians, Alaska Native, or AIAN, was done in the early 90s. So, you know, the statistics, when you look at them, just be aware that they're most likely outdated. Again, we do have 64% of American Indians that are now living in urban areas, yet many of our prevalence rates are not inclusive of these populations. For American Indian, Alaska Native children, we know that overweight obesity starts very early. The CDC shared some data that low-income preschool children and American Indian, Alaska Natives were the only group with rates above 20% and the only ethnicity with increasing rates. So a lot of times we see now a leveling off of obesity rates. They're kind of becoming more stable, where they're still increasing in American Indian, Alaska Native youth. This is just the most recent data that I could find. And this is from the Kaiser Family Foundation, the statehealthfacts.org, which I think was just released last May. And you have to take this into consideration, too, because this American Indian statistic is only representative of 10 states. So it's not a really good number. It does show African American and American Indian Alaska Native with very high rates of overweight and obesity. And then there's a large other category here, which is really interesting, and it's because I think these are mutually exclusive race ethnicity categories. So you had to identify as one or another. So just wanted to share with you the most recent thing I could find. These causes and determinants, I think a lot of ethnic minority communities are faced with similar causes, reasons why we face such high rates of obesity. I think something that everyone should be aware of is the reason why for American Indians I think we have such a high rate is because of relocation programs. We were forced off ancestral lands, forced to define ourselves a new way of life, a new history. Many people were forced into boarding schools. There's a very significant psychological trauma and cultural trauma that was experienced by American Indian people. A forced reliance on USDA community commodity food programs, So I just kind of want to share that briefly and ask you if you're familiar with Unnatural Causes. It was a video series that was done. They have an edition called Bad Sugar, which talks about Tono Atsam Nation and Pima Indians in southern Arizona, and it really goes over the history there, and I think it's a very informative part of our history that is often left out of history books. Our Community's Pima Prevention to Work Initiative is something that we receive funding for through the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009. 50 communities were funded to tackle obesity and/or tobacco, with the idea that 1 in 6 Americans would be affected by this programming. It was a 2-year initiative. There were 2 tribes that were funded, the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, their Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and Pueblo Pemas, which is in New Mexico, just outside of Albuquerque. We were funded as a national organization to work towards increasing physical activity, improved nutrition, decreasing obesity, and decreasing smoking prevalence. The reason why this PSC, or Policy Systems and Environmental Change Model, there's been a lot of research, and I think as public health practitioners, we know that education is only half the battle, that we really need to work to change the environment that we're living in, and to really show that increased access to healthy options and to make sure they're affordable. So I think, you know, we've learned over the years that this is an important part of good public health. You know, with some of our biggest successes have been vaccinations, seatbelt laws, smoking bans, and so again, foraging with that information into the obesity realm. This is all the partners involved with CPPW. It was a very big initiative. We're into the second year right now. Again, we were one of the 10 national organizations funded to work towards obesity prevention. There were 3 that were funded to work towards smoking. There were 50 communities that were awarded $450 million. Again, 2 tribes received a part of that funding. These are the MAP strategies. These are based on the Community Guide Task Force recommendations. They're evidence and practice-based intervention strategies. Media access, point of decisions or point of purchase, pricing, and social support. And I'll go through some examples of those really quickly. Media, and I've heard a lot about, I can't remember how many millions of dollars that Coca-Cola and all these, you know, organizations, the huge, that spend money on advertising to our youth and our teens. And so part of this initiative is to counter-advertise those effects, to really try to promote healthy food and drink rather than the sugar-sweetened beverages and high-fat fast food. Access, again, just, you know, talking about are there safe, attractive, accessible places for physical activity in our communities? How can we work with city planning and zoning and kind of step out of our realm of health and think about other partners that we can engage to work on these efforts? Farm to school has been a really popular effort with our community. Point of decision, so we see this all the time. I think menu labeling is a really popular one that I've noticed at Panera Bread now in Oklahoma. We have the calorie count is next to each menu item. That's a new thing for us in Oklahoma. Signage for healthy foods, menu labeling, trying to get people when they're making that decision to buy unhealthy versus healthy options. Pricing. This is something that always frustrates me. If I'm in a hurry and I'm trying to grab something quick to eat, and I want to go through McDonald's and get a salad, and it's $7 or $8, and then they have a dollar menu, and you know you can fill up on $2 on these high-fat foods, and that's something that changing the relative price I think is an important goal for us. And social support, making sure that there's support for breastfeeding, safe routes to school, other environmental policy changes. The Healthy Active Native Communities Initiative, our role, AIP's role, is to provide technical assistance and support to tribes nationally, not just to those 2 tribes that are funded, Pueblo Pemas and Cherokee, but across all of our affiliates and networks nationwide. One way we did this, there are 562 about federally recognized tribes, about 100 or so state recognized tribes. There are 2 tribes that awarded this funding. Now, we decided, okay, how can we try to give some funding to other tribes that maybe are interested in implementing PSD? And so we did a what we called a mini-grant subcontract. We only had 10 awards to give out. However, we had over 130 applications, all from Native tribal communities that are interested in implementing PSD. One thing we did note too is that there were 60 applications that we were unable to review because they did not meet the criteria of implementing a PSD change. They were focused on a one-time event or an education model change. So two things lit up for us. We said, okay, there's a lot of people that are interested in this. This isn't a lot of money that we're giving. It's $2,500. There's a great need for funding to go into tribal communities to implement this effort. And there's some education that still needs to be had on what a PSD is and how can we help them to implement these changes. These are our 10 communities. We had two in Alaska, North Carolina, New Mexico, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Arizona. So we really try to kind of spread out around. We had the Choctaw Indians out of Louisiana. That's a state recognized tribe as well. This is just some more of what we're doing and what we're working on at AIP. And I'm going to quickly go through this because I think I want to get to the lessons learned part. I want to share a little bit about Pueblo Pemas. They're a federally recognized tribe. They're one of the funded CPPW communities. They're in a rural community about 55 miles northwest of Albuquerque, 3,400 tribal members, very strong traditions. All the members speak their language, which is Toa. They have a tribal council changes yearly. So every year, Pueblo elects new governor and lieutenant governor. They have one convenience store that is located on the Pueblo. Bernard Leo is the closest Walmart, I guess, grocery store there is about 40 miles away. So we're working they have a very ambitious action plan. They've done some amazing things to increase fruit and vegetable consumption in schools, traditional meals during school hours, decreasing sugar sweetened beverages. They have a number of programs. I mean, they were just very ambitious with what they were wanting to accomplish. And they've done a great job also including a part of their culture into the program. They have running is a very important cultural tradition of theirs. And they have this great initiative to try to recognize their previous runners out of their community and also to inspire the youth to get involved with running and to retain that part of their culture. A number of partners that they worked with there locally and regionally, the University of New Mexico, Notre Dame Foundation, were some regional partners, but they also had a lot of support from within their leadership. There's just a few. This is their community garden on the bottom left. They expanded it. They had only 2 acres, and now they have 6 acres. They have an agricultural manager there, Martin, who's photo there, and they've done a great job, really, with their farm-to-school efforts. This on the right is Notre Dame Foundation. They built a soccer field in San Felipe Reservation, and so we went to go visit them, and they have programs where they're letting all the Pueblos in the area come and use these soccer facilities. Okay, so Cherokee Nation is our other community that we were tasked to work with. They're out of Tahlequah, and I just want to kind of give you an idea for how different tribal communities are. This community is huge. It covers 14 counties. They're tribal. In Oklahoma, we have what's called TJSAs, Tribal Jurisdiction Statistical Areas. We have nations rather than reservations or pueblos. This Cherokee Nation has 280,000 enrolled members, second only to Navajo Nation. It covers 7,000 square miles. They have 3 branches of government. They're structured a lot like the U.S. government. So when you're looking to implement policy changes, you need to be aware of what the government structure is. They also had a very ambitious core action plan. They were working with 10 community coalitions in 10 school districts, looking to implement policies in 20 of the 100 largest school districts within their TJSA. So just to give you an idea of how big they were going with their efforts. some of the lessons learned, these I think are kind of the meat of the presentation I want to share. When you're working to implement PSD, it's always important to understand who your tribal leadership is and the political structure. All tribes are sovereign nations that are federally recognized with different political structures, and you need to be aware of those. One thing that we learned, and some of our tribes, that they were, if they only had a year term, that a lot of they were working with schools rather than their tribes initially to implement programs or to get these policies changed, because they have more time to develop those partnerships and those relationships, because the school board doesn't have as much as quick of a turnaround. But then they were using that to kind of leverage support in with the tribal leadership and say, look what we did in the schools, now we can work with the tribe and the leadership that way. So that was a very important, I think, lesson learned. Another thing that we found that was really important is to make sure all the members that are working together in the community are on the same page. A lot of time, this kind of an approach takes a lot of legwork. It takes people working together. And so just make sure that you're also building off of other program successes. Many tribes have done a great number of work with diabetes, especially prevention and programs. And so don't try to start from scratch, to really use what's in the community, the strength, and build off of that. Be flexible. We were given these map strategies and said, hey, use these strategies. And we thought, okay, we'll use some of them and we'll use what makes sense to work with American Indian tribes, but not all of them were good fits. So we had to really be flexible, and we were kind of the middleman between the funding partners and then the tribes, and trying to say, okay, let's encourage the strengths in these tribal communities, and then also try to make sure that we're making the funders happy and doing the map strategies and everything. But I think you have to be realistic and know your community. Including tribal customs and traditions into their change was very effective. All the tribes that we worked with have done this, and it really helps to engage their communities and build support from the tribal leadership. I think working with the National American Indian Organization as ourselves, we've been a nice kind of middleman, and we've had access to a lot of experts in both areas, content-specific areas and in cultural-specific areas, and so we've been able to really bring that additional support needed in order for these communities to achieve their change. Know your starting point. Some of our tribes had done PSD, they were very familiar with the process, they knew what to do, they knew their leaders, they've been there, done that. They did not require that much effort. We did have other communities that we worked with that really needed that basis, those foundational skills necessary, you know, in order to be successful. So just know your starting point, where you're working with. Educate yourself on tribal sovereignty issues. Importance of site visits. For all of our communities, we were not able to just, you don't just go in and send an email and say, this is what we're going to do, or try to get on the phone. It really is important to go to the community, build a rapport, build a relationship, and just know where you're, who your community is that you're working with. And I think the rest, I know that I'm running short on time, so I want to give a chance for all the other presenters to receive questions. Just thank you for listening. I appreciate the opportunity. We do have a conference that we will be having in San Diego called the Sustainable Strategies for Healthy Active Native Communities, March 13th and 14th. I invite you all to come, and thank you very much.